The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day comes to us in the book of Corinthians, the first chapter, especially verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I've been flipping through the channels this week, it seems that not once did I fall upon a television station that referred to this Sunday as the fifth Sunday after Epiphany. It seems most people are calling this Sunday Super Bowl Sunday. No doubt today a lot of people will gather around their TVs and watch the big game. And sometimes on those Super Bowl specials, they'll let you back into the locker room to see what the coaches say right before they come out onto the field. And one of the things that you almost always hear in those big speeches before big games is a call to unity, a call for teamwork out on the field. Paul says this, I pray that there would be no division among you. Yes, this was Paul's prayer for the Corinthians. And today I say to you, it is my prayer for us here at St. Paul's as well. In Corinth, each new teaching or each new teacher seemed to end up causing another faction in the church to form, regardless of the intent of that teacher who had come. And indeed, this was not for the best. For the church indeed could not function as it should when it was divided. Yes, some in Corinth said, I follow Paul. Others said, I follow Apollos. Still others, I follow Peter or Cephas. But on the whole, the church suffered because of these divisions. And not just to the church at Corinth, but the church of God as a whole. Here at St. Paul's, North Ellsworth, it doesn't seem that the problem is following after different people. But perhaps the problem is often following after different ideas. Some say, I follow tradition. Whatever has been done must be done. Enough said. And then there are others that follow after progress. If it's old, it's cold. Let's change already. Still others follow ideologies. But with all of these allegiances around, divisions soon come. Old school or new building? Take your side. King James or something new? Choose your team. Old hymnal or new hymnal? Cast your vote. And all along, Satan laughs. He laughs as the church divides itself over details rather than being connected by the cross. You see, Paul goes on in this first chapter of Corinthians to tell us that it's truly all about baptism. For it is indeed in baptism that we learn what unity in the church is all about. For it is there at the font that we all become one in Christ Jesus. It was not the King James Version that cleansed us. It will not be the new hymnal that will bestow the Holy Spirit. No, there at that font, it is Jesus and Jesus alone who does His work. His work of taking those who are sinners and sanctifying them and then placing them into one common body. No doubt today, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper again here in our church, the Lord's Supper is to be a visible manifestation of the unifying work that God does at the font. Yes, those that voted for keeping the old school building will walk down the same aisle as those who have regretted the decision ever since. Those that love the King James Version will be standing up here next to those who read something that was written centuries later. Yes, those who would rather burn a new hymnal rather than buy one, their lips will be touched with the same cup that will touch the lips of those who can't wait for the new hymnal to arrive. But the question for us today is this. Will our gathering at the Lord's altar today simply be a sham? Will we come up to the altar today truly united by the Christ? Or will we simply act like it for long enough to receive the supper? Because if it's just a sham that we're putting on, we probably should skip it all together. And indeed, the question of unity goes beyond the question of today's worship. But it is today that we look into the future of this church and we ask this question. Does St. Paul's go forward from this point today as a church divided on the details or as one connected by the Christ? Dear friends, there is only one way for this church to be unified. It cannot be unified around blindly following tradition. It also cannot be unified by recklessly following behind progress. Unity is only found in Christ. It can only be found at the font where Christ washes, at the altar where he feeds, and from his word where he enlightens. Because if we are not unified, Satan indeed laughs. For he laughs when churches are divided by the details, not so much because of the details, but because that means that they are no longer connected by the Christ. And when the church is taken away from Christ and his word, indeed loses all power. Without Jesus being the center of the church, this here is nothing more than another place that we can get together and have conflict. And I think we probably already have enough of those places, don't we? Think of St. Paul's as a beautifully woven together piece of fabric. Each strand in that fabric is a person which God himself in baptism has woven into that fabric. All of the unique strands woven together make for that piece of fabric to be a beautiful thing. But imagine for a second, if one group of strands bind together and pull with all their might one way. And then imagine on the other side another group of strands pulling together and pulling just as fiercely the other way. In that situation, only one thing can occur. Tearing. That once beautiful fabric will be ripped. And fabric that is ripped, if it is not repaired, is simply thrown away as useless. It is only natural that when difficult decisions arise in the congregation, that there would be differences of opinion. Some will like one option, and other people will like the other. And that's completely fine when both of the options are God-pleasing choices. For the people of God are not clones. And so between choosing between two God-pleasing options, there will always be differences. But when one option becomes an idol that is clung to at all costs by a group of people, then indeed sin has entered the picture. And where that type of sin is, division always occurs. So let me apply today this truth to our situation here at St. Paul. It was fine, and more than fine, for any of you to be for the old hymnal. It was and is a fine, God-pleasing hymnal. But now the congregation has chosen, and the voters have approved the new hymnal. And today I urge you to come along as we begin to prepare to worship out of a new hymnal the same Jesus that we worship this morning out of the old hymnal. Because at this point, clinging to the old hymnal simply becomes evidence of idolatry. It becomes evidence of idolatry because it is clinging to something other than Jesus himself. And that will cause division. And this is not just about clinging to the old hymnal. It's about clinging to anything that indeed is not Christ Jesus. Still clinging to the idea of a new building rather than the old school? Forget about it. Let it go. Not because it wasn't a good idea, just like the old hymnal wasn't a bad hymnal, but because it is not what we as a church are to cling to. We are to cling to Jesus alone. And then only to other things when they help us to cling to Him. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus alone. For when we all together cling to Jesus and Him alone, He indeed is the thread that can mend tears that have been here for many years. He is the one that can heal divisions caused by decades of sinful clinging to other things other than Jesus. So today, what is it? Will you cling to the old hymnal, or will you cling to Jesus? Will you cling to the idea of a new school building, or will you cling to Jesus? Will you come to the altar today, truly connected to all who will stand there by the Christ? Or should you simply remain in the pew, divided by the details? Hymnals cannot save. Neither can buildings. Only Jesus alone can save. And that's what He wants to do again here today with you. He wants to rob you of any idol that you have in order that you can worship Him and Him alone. And you can resist His work today. You can continue to cling to whatever you want to, but in so doing you will tear the fabric that God wishes to be displayed in this place. And if you cling to those other things, realize today that you will simply be clinging to something that ultimately is worthless to help you or to save you. Jesus wants you to leave them behind today, because what He has for you is far better. Jesus wants you today to leave with Him and Him alone. Yes, it is His will that all who gather at this altar today, who He made one in holy baptism, would also gather here today as one in Him. For as the psalmist rightly says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." So today is the day. Stop clinging to other idols. And when you do, you will find that you are being clung to by Jesus. You will find that you are being held in His arms as a forgiven child of God. And then you can watch as He mends you back together with all of the other pieces of fabric woven together here at St. Paul. It's not just my prayer. It is God's will that there be no division among you. Amen. You're invited to rise. that may indeed God, through His Holy Spirit, bring true unity through His Son, Jesus Christ. We ask it in His name. Amen.